Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a Radio.com sports station.
I said yesterday, and I stand by it, the single greatest Led Zeppelin cover ever from OAR. You did well yesterday with a couple. Actually, I'd never heard that Train cover.
The Train one, yeah.
That was pretty good. By the way, how quickly do you think this is going to be shut down? I'm supposed to go next week to one of those drive-in shows.
Yeah, that's not happening.
On Nantucket with Mark, with a couple happening. Of the OAR guys. And based on what happened with the Chainsmokers in the Hamptons, do you think they'll
no,
go on?
There's no way that's going to happen.
The show's not going to go
on? The show will not go on. It must, but it won't.
Has a three-second-long video done more damage for any industry than that Chainsmokers thing?
No.
You think that stopped any kind of concerts?
Oh, they're all drive-in shows are canceled. Yeah.
Mayor Walsh peed his pants when he saw that.
The drive-in shows. Yeah. Dunsky.
But there is some breaking news on the Nantucket front, Greg, from really? Antoinette at Channel 5, my girl Antoinette. Yes. Summer travelers being blamed on a rise in COVID-19 on Nantucket. Officials considering expanding mask orders, closing restaurants earlier, and possibly ending indoor dining.
Oh, so
nice job.
It's nothing to do with me. I'm not a carrier.
Do you know, Ken, why Greg loves Antoinette Antonio? Because she was in an episode of Breaking Bad as the news anchor when she was out in the Southwest.
She was?
Yes. Yeah, and then she came here. We talked about it on the old show when she first arrived here. Yeah.
Is there any same thing about Nantucket using a napkin as a blanket, like Mike Felger did?
Oh my God!
Well, I mean, it was bound to happen. I mean, you can't keep they did a really good job, obviously, when it came to cases of. But it's an island; people are going to go there. You want to have summer travelers go there. I mean.
Sure. You come over there, you get money, and then you just execute them.
You
50 new cases.
Ooh,
it's like 50 people on the island.
It's a little bigger. And isn't the Cape currently experiencing a surge? Thanks, everyone. There goes my sanctuary.
I mean, they talk about, I think I mentioned this on the show, but talk about doing a really good job. Like, I was walking into town to fetch a coffee.
All right, relax. Why can't I get an Uber?
This sounds so ideal.
A woman came up to me and presented her badge from the health department.
Yes.
And said that you had to have your mask on upon entering the downtown area. So,
and you were harumph, harumph.
Nope, I promptly
fished it out of your pocket.
I promptly
all the dip stains intact.
I promptly pulled it out and I said, "Land ho."
And she was like, "Why are you calling me a hoe?"
It was your mask, right?
Yes, it was.
Just checking.
Yes, it was. So they've done and they also are. I mean, if you're at a restaurant and somebody dares to approach your table to say hello,
no, you can't do that.
They fly into a conversation. They fly into an absolute panic. So, but they're thinking of what does that report say? They're thinking of closing down restaurants,
indoor dining. If the cases keep rising, restaurants curfew. You love the curfews,
yeah.
The Obamas have opened their $15 million home for people to go in and eat.
That's the vineyard. Yep. That is the vineyard.
Which is going to be underwater in 5 years.
It doesn't matter.
Tops.
Irrelevant.
So, listen, we didn't get to follow up on it, but we got to, speaking of citizens with badges.
Yes.
Be they maybe cardboard badges. We got to follow up on the Cambridge thing because everybody wanted to talk about that when it came up during Larry the Lawyer. But first, quick, this is Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how are you? Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
Hey, quick one for you. The Led Zeppelin cover thing,
yes.
I got to tell you, you're missing one really great one.
Yeah.
You forgot about Stone Temple Pilots' Dancing Days.
Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right about that. Absolutely. So in Cambridge, there is a proposal to have unarmed civilians perform routine traffic stops.
I can't.
Instead of police.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So how do you feel about this?
Officer Tarantino, how did he die? He was shot at a traffic stop. He was shot during a traffic stop. I don't think this is a good thing.
You don't think it's a good idea?
Let me give people a little background on why the city councilors in Cambridge wanted to do this. Okay, I spotted Michelle McPhee tweeted this 2 days ago, and I read through it, and it says, routine traffic stops disproportionately impact black and brown drivers who are pulled over and searched more often than white drivers, leading to potentially stressful interactions with police. This racist outcome is not the result of biases by individual officers, although those may play a role, but rather is primarily the result of systemic biases, including over-policing in black neighborhoods and training of police officers to be hyper-vigilant. The presence of an armed police officer during a routine traffic stop raises the tension of the encounter unnecessarily and can itself lead to conflict. So what they're saying now is that routine traffic enforcement can be conducted by unarmed employees of the city, a.k.a. civilians, which would reduce the possibility of violence during such encounters.
No, the violence would be perpetrated on the unarmed civilian who's told that their job is now to pull cars over.
But remember, these people all think they're smarter than us.
I can't. Like, how did it work out when they tried to use the flaggers instead of police details? Not great, from what I recall. Not great.
But if they wear the same outfit and you don't know whether they're armed or not.
The same outfit? Are you for real?
Ken, they're going to be dressed up and down like garden workers.
That's
what I'm saying. Give them actual police.
Renicky dresses like a Sox manager. He doesn't act like one.
So, Ken, when they pull over, let's say they pull over a dangerous criminal.
Yep.
And then,
happen from time to time.
What do they do? Like, you know, stand back and challenge them to fisticuffs, to
rock paper scissors.
They're going to have a Sudoku off.
The guy's probably going to
Wiggy screwed.
They'll see who's better at recycling.
Yes, good day, friend. That's it.
How's your compost?
What do they have, like a little yellow light on their Prius? Is that
Oh, yeah, I'm pulling over for this guy. Meanwhile, there's going to be an uptick in calls to, like, 911 dispatchers because people are going to be like, there's a car behind me attempting to pull me over, and the woman appears to be Karen-esque.
Yeah. What'd you pull me over for? Well, you're driving a gas-guzzling SUV.
Mm. Is that an environmentally friendly LED light?
We pulled you over for crimes against the environment.
Sorry, but you're leaving too large a carbon footprint.
The police would still be responsible for apprehending known criminals, dangerous or erratic drivers, and other related situations that clearly go beyond routine traffic enforcement. So does a civilian person sit there and be like, I'm going to need you to hang on and stay here in the car for 1 second while I call the actual police. Don't leave. Okay.
Wasn't Cambridge where the marathon bombers were, like trying to carjack Sean Collier? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Also,
Dick Donahue almost died. In fact, he did die and then came back. They brought him back.
This is Cambridge. Can't we just put robots out? Or how about just cameras everywhere?
Interesting.
Would that be all right?
I think we have something like that. I don't know. I mean, I understand why. I understand the reasoning.
You
that
do?
They, that I understand the premise by which, you know, they're using the statistical data about, you know, people who are disproportionately targeted. However,
sure.
I don't see this being an effective strategy, even a little bit.
Imagine how power hungry the person is going to be. Like this texter says, the perfect comparison is the condo association president.
Yes. Oh, God, no.
I see you met Cynthia.
Like it's going to be, I mean, are you kidding me, Ken? You think this is a good idea?
It's going to be like the power hungry flight attendant.
How about the Atlanta bombing? That guy was great. He saved everybody.
Oh, Richard Jewell.
He didn't have actual weapons, did he?
And you know what his yes. reward for being a hero was? Dying of diabetes.
Okay. Unrelated, but
yeah.
What?
His life was ruined.
The man was miserable.
He did finally get his movie, though.
Yep.
He did.
I liked that movie.
Posthumously. That was a good movie.
With a bunch of fudged facts.
That was a pretty good.
Was it entertaining?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth a watch.
Most of the Clint Eastwood movies, I feel like the last 10 years or so have been like, this got off to a good start, and then Clint just sort of like lost focus.
Well, I mean, what was the boxing film that he directed? That was a great
Million Dollar Baby. That was a pick me up. Made Manchester by the Sea look like there's something about Mary. What a cheery movie that was.
But it was a great movie. But as a director, it was a great movie.
Oh, absolutely. The last hour where she's just laying there dying and he's trying to decide to pull the plug.
How many Clint Eastwood chair jokes did Nick tell?
None. I felt bad at that point. It was like, oh, there goes Gramps. Get off my stage. Clint Eastwood's 90.
Did he direct the Kids on the Lawn movie there? What was
it
that
was called?
One?
Yep, the Kids on the Lawn, the Canadian sketch comedy troupe. Yes,
no, you know the one I'm talking about. What was the one about
Gran Torino?
Get off my lawn. Yeah, that was a good movie.
I'll
tell you what wasn't that good was the one where he was the drug mule.
The mule.
That was the mule. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
Eh, it was
Sandlot.
How about there was Trouble with the Curve.
Trouble with the Curve was terrible.
Yeah.
So cliche.
He hasn't really made a good, there hasn't been a great, for someone who used to make, Unforgiven's probably the defining Western of the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. And then now he spews out this, it's time.
What was the point at which S. Pat's fans say turned to spewing nonsense?
the desperate
this
reach
is my favorite,
there.
This is my
you
favorite
even, I even
of
watched
the,
your
linear.
Own lip curl up. You're like, I don't know about this one. I hope your squirrels chew through the clothes.
I don't have any right now.
I hope they kill you.
They
I hope your animals
wires.
Eat you.
That's why she loses her electricity frequently.
I hope they eat your new boyfriend's nuts.
They are doing just fine, thanks.
Oh, God.
A plus. You're out of the club.
All right.
Happy anniversary, Dick.
We have to get to Ken and what is trending.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
During Subaru Summer, retail is making it easy for you to shop online from wherever you are. Begin at SubaruofNewEngland.com. And by the way, our own Fitzy, a former amateur enforcement officer in the Hall Monitor College dorms, correct? Were you not a...
I was not. Although I was, this is only for entertainment purposes, I was part of SAD in high school.
Yeah, of course you were.
And now I'm actually part of a new SAD.
Yes. It's the one that you need to drink
it's
with.
It's called Greg Hill Show, OMF, Saturdays with Ken, Morning Mashup, Bar Fights.
Go ahead.
Oh, boy.
Please, somebody kill me.
Six opt-outs for the Patriots.
Were you also in D.A.R.E.?
I was not.
Okay.
I don't even know what was D.A.R.E. again?
Alcohol.
Abuse recognition whatever. Yeah.
Were you a part of MAD?
Were you part of... Shut up.
He was in the Esperanto Society.
Yes.
Me and... who's the only star of an Esperanto movie?
I don't know.
William Shatner.
Really?
Starred in the only movie filmed in all Esperanto.
The universal language?
No joke. There is one movie made in Esperanto. Starring
only one?
Because no one else knows it.
But a film starring William Shatner.
What's it called? Yeah. Who knows? All right. Sorry, nobody saw it.
Well, Hog Fitzy started us off today trying to bend over backwards to explain the six opt-outs of the Patriots and saying this was a good thing. I believe that's what you said.
I did not say it was a good thing.
That Bill got them to show their hand early.
I, I was suggesting when Curtis was creating conspiracy theories that nobody wants to play for this guy. It's not fun here. Mm-hmm. Bill has told these guys not to play because he's tanking for Trevor. I was suggesting that I really think it's more that Bill is saying, I need to know now. What's your answer? I want an answer right now. Are you playing or not?
So I can either go get some of the guys that I released because we went from 90 to 80, or I can see who I can take off the scrap heap that's available as a free agent, maybe not Clowney, and try to fill out the roster. They don't even have 80 players right now.
But correct me if I'm wrong. When people talk about Clowney, you only have the cap space available for 1 year. So you can't, right? I mean, you can't go out and, because theoretically you're correct. Obligated Mm-mm. the following year.
No, you're not, actually.
You're not?
So Miguel, the guy, the Pats cap guy, just tweeted out a few minutes ago that you can roll over the cap space from this year into next year. So if Belichick's like, the hell with it, I'll just keep the $24 million, he can add that to next year's. Now, if the cap gets lowered next year and the Pats were only to have $50 million next year, you could roll over the $24 million, then they would have $74 million, so they could go... They could have a free agent spending spree next year.
When Miguel tweets, by the way, Fitzy gets like 18 notifications on the phone. That's cap guy.
Oh, my God. That was both funny and not interesting.
Now, Dan Orlovsky is among those in the media that think this is huge. The six opt-outs, the Bills are now the team to beat.
This was going
to
be Bill Belichick's greatest challenge. Going into this year with all the losses that they have had and the transition of a new offense, with potentially Cam Newton coming in, no Tom Brady, this was going to be his greatest challenge. It's only gotten more difficult because Patrick Chung is the type of player that really changes the way New England plays defense. He's the type of player that you can play him at the safety position. You can blitz him. You can have him in run support. You can put him down at a linebacker level. He allows them to do a lot of different things, which is obviously a trademark of what New England likes to do. And to have a guy like Patrick Chung who has all those reps built up and talking to guys and communicating, that's a big deal. And for that loss, this is gonna be a massive undertaking for Bill Belichick. This clearly puts, in my opinion, the Buffalo Bills were already the favorite in the division. This now makes them the clear runaway bona fide favorite in the division because so many Patriots are either not there or opting out.
Ooh, wow. Orlovsky. Hit job. Well, the Red Sox have some ground to make up, 1-4 to start the year. Good news, though, we do have Chaim Bloom on the show tomorrow, 8:30.
Excellent.
I'm just informed. So we'll
Chaim,
talk to
excited about that.
I mean, he's got four starters here to make. What do they do going forward? How do you solve this now?
Well,
who cares about that? I want to hear how Wiggy pronounces his first name.
Chaim.
So the situation you're in when it comes to pitching, who are you putting the blame on for that? Is that Dombrowski or is that Chaim?
I mean, some of it is injury related, you would admit. The E-Rod spot,
yes.
For sure. And then, I think it's Bloom. Yeah, you know, these are his options, limited though they are, in his first year in the organization. But the bigger thing is now, if you don't get E-Rod back, you can't just keep trotting out these same four openers.
When are we all going to just come to terms with the fact it's not a bridge year, this is an audition year? I wouldn't call it a sunk season. I think there is going to be legitimate entertainment in watching them just honestly trot out God knows who on the mound and just futz around until they can eke out some wins or build some sort of momentum.
But also maybe it's a year where you just, you keep selected guys and then get rid of everybody else. Like you keep Devers,
and Bogey.
Bogarts. Right. Yeah, you keep Bogarts. I mean,
would you try? Okay, if you could, not that his contract is prohibitive, but he could opt out or reconfigure. J.D. Martinez, would you trade him by August 31st?
Yes. Okay. I'll get rid of everybody except for
Bogey and Devers.
And maybe Vasquez. Okay. And then that's it. Start all over again.
Yikes. 6:15 pregame tonight on the Shaws and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network. 6:10 pregame, my apologies, tonight. Of course, you heard about the Marlins. They're out of action through Sunday. Joe Kelly retribution with the Astros took place last night. Worth a watch on the Fitzy mashup. And the Bruins play the Flyers Sunday at 3, first exhibition tomorrow. It's the Greg Hill Show.
If WEEI knew the Greg Hill curse would impact all of sports as we know it, well, perhaps we would have gone in another direction. Regardless, here's to one of many, big fella.
I also just ask people, as we think about the rest of the summer, when you think about birthday parties and cookouts and things like that, be very careful.
What you don't want to see is outbreaks of coronavirus in your backyards or in parks around the city of Boston. And that's another reason why we're not going to be having parades this summer and this fall.
The new goalpost is the backyard outbreak, Curtis.
Backyard outbreak for Timmy's 10th birthday.
Oh,
he can't play
house.
Wiffle ball with his buddies. Meanwhile, Polito's throwing another massive kegger this weekend at her brother's house.
Now, did Marty say backyard birthday parties?
He just did.
Yeah.
He said cookouts separately. He didn't say backyard birthday parties. Okay. It's total fake news by Curtis all morning.
Well, where's the distinction there, Ken?
Birthday parties happen inside, mostly inside.
I also just ask people, as we think about the rest of the summer, when you think about birthday parties and cookouts and things like that.
Okay, so two separate things, birthday parties and
is
cookouts.
Is it inside worse, Ken?
Yes.
So right. So
you're saying birthday parties outside are safe, but Marty's saying birthday parties inside.
He's not saying he's not making any indoor outdoor distinction, Ken.
Well, he doesn't, but Curtis is. Curtis is saying, well, now you can't even have an outdoor birthday party.
He sounds like an absolute moron, Ken.
You do.
What's moronic about what I'm saying? I want Timmy to have a birthday party in his backyard. I think that's perfectly fine.
With one friend. He's allowed to have one friend.
That's all I have. But
Timmy! How about your New York Post story you forwarded me yesterday? Texas, 14 people, all from one indoor party.
Okay, I am talking about Bellingham, Mass. Timmy and his 10 friends in their backyard playing wiffle ball. Mayor Walsh says that there might be an outbreak because of that.
You're inserting wiffle ball. Marty Walsh didn't say that.
Okay, what are they doing out back? Playing Yahtzee?
He didn't say out
I don't
back.
Know.
Most Yahtzee. Birthday parties happen inside.
Okay, this mayor...
During the summer, Ken? That's not true.
That is patently false.
Well, I will say there's one thing that the mayor is doing right. We are now officially the only city in the United States of America with... free sunscreen dispensers.
Oh, I'm all right with that.
I don't know if, you know, in the past, hardworking Americans had to buy their own sunscreen. Mm-hmm. And now, everywhere you go in the city, there are free sunscreen dispensers.
I love it. I'm here
What's
for
the
it.
SPF? Is it paraben free?
I don't know.
It would not be sunscreen that you would feel comfortable using.
I guarantee. I don't know.
Because the next
just curious.
The next thing that we're going to hear is, I'm saying I'm not taking a stance on this. I'm saying from a predictability standpoint, is the environmental people will pop up and remind you that when the sunscreen goes into the water, it does hurt our marine life. So if the city is not providing marine safe sunscreen, then they are therefore contaminating the waterways around the city.
Yeah, I mean it could be a good thing when it comes to the great whites that are all over Maine. And took that poor woman's life the other day.
How awful. I was reading the story, the guy that he rents a property adjacent or on Bailey's Island, and he was looking out his window when the woman was attacked by the shark. I don't even know what you do in that situation, seeing something like that unfold. You can't do anything.
No.
Nothing you can do. It's so awful.
I just got a text from Jen Hill saying that with a screenshot of the restriction, which you can't go into the water... higher than your waist.
So you don't have to get your T-shirt wet
in Ocean Park because of the shark. Because of the sharks.
I love that three of us were all thinking of competing Greg Hill T-shirt jokes, and Danielle was first to market.
And a quick note, Greg: all birthday parties, the front yard, you're fine. If they're in the backyard, you spread COVID.
Correct.
I mean, what about the concern? Several texters are concerned that the free sunscreen dispensers are going to spread the COVID.
Well, I'm sure it's touch-free, right? Is it touch-free like the sanitizer?
Seriously, you just put your hand underneath and then the white stuff comes out and then you...
I don't know.
It's all over my arm.
Blower can disperse the coronavirus for way more than 6 feet.
It's bizarre, Greg, because there's water fountains along the beach are all turned off, but the water fountain at the park right down the street from my place
is on.
Board.
So, I don't know.
Big water fountain guy, Curtis?
Well, I have a dog.
Well, how nice to just get a nice city sip right in the middle of just taste the COVID.
Remember that back in school? You'd have that one person that would just put their whole mouth right on the thing, and you're like, well, now I'm not going to.
I'd be more comfortable sipping from a Central Park water fountain 5 years ago where I just recently saw a residentially challenged gentleman
bathing. Yeah.
Would you be more comfortable going to Magic City with the Marlins or drinking out of a city water fountain?
At least I can get wings and a lapper.
Actually,
flats and laps.
On Netflix, Zac Efron and some random guy do this whole hour-long study on how bad our water is in the like expensive shishi waters.
Yeah.
And it's much safer to drink tap.
Really?
Much healthier.
Oh, they're really? Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Have you seen all the women going nuts about Zac Efron with a dad bod, by the way,
no.
in this Netflix show? Everybody's like, oh, Zac Efron's still hot even with a dad bod.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. He's really holding
enough.
Up. This is the dad bod we need. Like, that's really not that dad bod-ish. Sorry.
Let's see. This is Mike from Maine, where there is a shark issue. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Happy hump day.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, listen, one thing was about the shark. Up here, I guess it was 10 years ago that we had our last one, and which is really surprising up here.
Yeah.
Because of the water temperatures and
right.
everything.
Right.
And they're facing it down towards New York, and it's really sad, but I have another question. The question was, I was told that Ken talked about it already, but I hadn't heard about the brawl that happened between Dodgers and the Astros. Can you enlighten me on how you felt about that, or do you think it's still going to be going on?
Well, Ken talked about this earlier. I mean, it's not a brawl. I mean, they can't brawl during mm-mm. COVID times.
So they can just stare.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Kelly stuck his tongue out.
Yeah.
It was pretty violent.
I mean, didn't everybody expect that this was good? There was going to be retribution?
Yeah, the Dodgers flat said they were going to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty particularly between the Astros and Dodgers. That's. Yeah. I don't think it's going to continue.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, there's a majority of people who apparently don't want the season to continue. They want the entire Major League Baseball season to be canceled. Let me ask you this. Did you not expect that there were going to be teams in which players would test positive?
Of course there would be. Okay. I thought baseball had the best chance to manage it because of the way that they were limiting the travel and the way that they had spaced the teams out in the stadiums. They seemed to have...
Well, it's the sport where there appears to be the least potential
risk.
Contact. Yes.
Correct, yes.
But,
NBA
but,
has
but
more
that
contact.
Doesn't that doesn't account for guys that are going to go to a
problem.
Strip joint.
That's the problem. Now, maybe if Eduardo Rodriguez developing an ancillary issue following his diagnosis scared some people into opting out or being more cautious, maybe this Magic City incident with 15 Marlins players will show people like, I can wait to go to the strip club
until
March.
And this is going to be interesting to see. Ron Renicki actually installed sunscreen dispensers around Fenway today.
Actually, it's tanning oil. I got it from my good friend, Mr. Kellogg.
No.
At the Wellness Institute.
No. No.
This 617 texter says the free sunscreen is designed to get the people that won't get a flu shot. Yeah, there's probably like a built-in flu shot mm-hmm. in the free sunscreen.
Yeah. I mean, we're all going to look like Zuckerberg.
Do we have?
Oh God!
Did I miss something? Do we have
yes.
a surplus of money in the city budget?
Yes.
Is it, over the last 5 months,
yes.
we have a surplus. So
we've been kept whole. Obviously, we're doing okay.
It's okay to provide everybody with sunscreen
yes.
if they can't buy it themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, just can we find? It's fine to have like Purell dispensers, but right. the sunscreen dispensers are a little much.
No, it's kept everyone whole.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, you should be on your own on that.
Like, yeah.
Unless, I mean,
or wear a shirt and a hat
yeah.
if you don't want the sun. People should be able to regulate their own sun absorption.
Jeez.
We're done.
All right. We got to take a break. We will come back with Wiggy for the crossover. All right. Wiggy is going to join us next for the crossover.
Happy 1 year anniversary to the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
The ice and snow from the midnight sun with the Africa.
heroes of the gods. We'll drag our ships to new lands.
See what I mean? Risky proposition when it comes to covering a Led Zeppelin song. Yeah.
That's a song from the movie Thor Ragnarok.
Infectious Grooves. Is that who that is?
Correct.
Yeah.
Greg,
we've
forgotten to do something today.
What?
I wanted to put together a list of all of the horrible things that have occurred in Boston sports.
Ooh.
In the last year since you made the switch from AAF to EEI. I mean, AAF is thriving, so that's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Nick is going to start us off here with some of the horrible moments over
horrible
the last
moments
year.
In sports or in the entire
Do we get like some Sarah McLachlan music or something during this?
Well, first of all, Wiggy, let me just mention that Wiggy is here for the crossover, and it's brought to you by National Lumber. Wait till you see them. Wiggy, how are you?
I'm doing well.
All right, good.
I am doing well.
All right, Curtis, let me guess. Tom Brady left.
That's a big one.
Tom Brady is in Tampa, yes. Along with...
Oh, my God, yes.
See, Greg Hill signs with WEEI. The Bruins lose Game 7 of the 2019 Stanley Cup Finals. There have been zero duck boat championships or parades since Greg Hill came to WEEI.
Okay, not my fault.
The Patriots were eliminated in the wild card round for the first time in over a decade.
Also not my fault.
Tom Brady has left New England.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fault.
That's
a big one.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Mutt remains employed by the station.
Rob Gronkowski unretired and forced a trade out of New England following Greg's shirtless rubdown.
That's what happened? Yes.
The Boston Red Sox hired Ron Renneke to replace Alex Cora.
Spygate 2.0. The Red Sox cheating scandal leading to the dismissal
going on prior to my arrival here at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it unearthed? Nothing to do with me.
The entire sports world stopped for 3.5 months.
Yeah.
Yes, I think Corona is probably the number one thing.
Oh, that's the number one thing.
Yeah. Also like,
you brought Corona to the city.
Yes.
You and Danielle brought over Corona.
Don't blame me, man. I didn't have a choice.
Big 103 took to the airwaves.
Oh, boy. We killed so many people.
All live sports have paused and been canceled.
All right.
Neil Peart, Regis Philbin, Dave Andelman, Tiger King.
it's Neil Peart.
I'm saying goodbye.
Wiggy, what's going on? What's up? What's up with you?
I would say I'm living in Coronaville, but then we renamed Coronaville to Bitchville. So
yes,
I'm
yes.
Just living in Bitchville, USA.
Yes, well,
enjoying the, right. enjoying the nice weather that we're getting.
Curtis has been suggesting this morning that the reason why so many New England Patriots are opting out of the season is because nobody likes Bill Belichick, and it's not fun to go to work here.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Would you buy into that?
I don't want the $8 million. That's I
don't need that.
Bill's getting on my nerves, so I'm just gonna. It's not fun anymore, so why don't I just leave that $8 million? You keep that, Bill.
Is there any explanation that you have for why so many?
Well, when you look at it's three guys that are opting out. That when you think about who are these three guys that are a factor, it's Patrick Chung, it's Marcus Cannon, and it's Dante Hightower. Those are the three guys. Everybody else is replaceable. So, I mean, I'm not concerning myself with the other three guys, but I will say that we know why Hightower's doing it. We know why Chung is doing it. And we know why Cannon's doing it. And when you start to see these players in the league and why some of them are doing it, you could kind of see, okay, some of them are having some, whether it's, you know, issues with newborn babies and they're afraid of that, or it's family members, or some of them might, you know, have some type of underlying issues. The other thing that I saw, too, is that a lot of guys, like there's a kid in Buffalo who's opting out. Some of these guys have got guaranteed money. So they're just opting out for this year, and the money's just being pushed back to next year, so they're not really losing anything.
It's Star Lotulelei.
Yeah, there's a few guys that are doing it, and they're just like they're pushing their money back to next year. So if you know you got money coming and you're a little bit concerned about, you know, what's going to happen, and maybe the season gets cut short and you only get half that money, you say, you know what, I'm going to sit out this year and I get my full salary next year.
Well, we have some disputing of what we've been talking about this morning on Twitter. So Darius Butler tweeted, "No way in hell Belichick tanks this year. Anyone who's saying that has never been around the guy." Patrick Chung just, quote, tweeted that, "Whoever said that is dumb, but probably very good looking."
That's
yeah, there's no way he tanks. Well, when you sign Cam Newton, tanking's off the table. If you keep Jarrett Stidham as your starter and then you lose all these players, then you could go, okay. You know, and they're not going to tank intentionally, but they're not going to be as good.
But it's not in his – is it in his makeup to tank?
No. Tanking, I always think tanking is like you're sitting guys intentionally that you know could play, and you're just like, all right, we're not going to – You know, like say Stephon Gilmore could play the last 3-4 games of the season, but maybe he's dealing with a little, you know, hamstring or injury, and you're like, he could play if they needed the game, and the coach goes, nah, just shut it down. Bill ain't doing that.
I love how you ask a question, is it in his DNA to tank? We know it's in his DNA to cheat, right?
Well, to push the limit of what is acceptable.
Well, then, you know, maybe people in America would call that cheating, but okay, if that's what you want to do.
I mean, you say it like it's this like crazy notion that he would ever do something like this.
It's called exploring competitive boundaries.
Tanking means you're sitting guys that could play, and I would never, and I don't see Bill ever doing
2011 Indianapolis Colts, starting Curtis Painter. That's called tanking.
Yeah, when you sit guys that you know they could play, that would give you a chance to win. So, Cam Newton being here, if he really felt like, all right, I want to go after Trevor Lawrence and I don't want us to be as good as we possibly could be, then I'm not going to sign Cam.
But he intentionally lost the final game of the season in 2006, I believe, 2005, so that they wouldn't play the Steelers in the wild card.
And guess what happened? They played the Jags and throttled them, and then they got hosed by the refs in Denver.
Well, that's not tanking, right? That's more of...
That's strategic.
Yeah.
Strategic losing. Couldn't you say that tanking is strategic losing?
Curtis, that's a very good point. You could say that.
Right.
I think what's more in his DNA is to say to himself, no Tom Brady, these guys opting out. I'm going to prove that I'm the greatest coach ever again this season and get 10 wins. I mean, and make the playoffs. That's more in his DNA than tanking for a draft pick.
And I think the Cam Newton thing puts you in a position where you're still going to be good. You're still going to be a playoff team. I still think you're the best team in the AFC East. Yes, you have to replace Hightower. Chung is a good player, but, you know, he struggled a little bit last year. So maybe you got some of these younger guys that you drafted. Maybe they could step in and kind of, you know, carry some of the load. You're going to lose some as far as leadership on the back end with Chung, but you still have McCourty. You still have Gilmore. You still have plenty of guys back there. Marcus Cannon didn't have a great year last year, so depends on who they, you know, put in at right tackle. I still think they'll be fine. Yeah, they lost three players, but until I see, and this is the thing for Ken, and I know Ken, I think it was, was it a tweet or a text message he sent me? 16 out of whatever is 30. Until I start seeing big-name players opting out, and right now, I would say the two biggest name players are Marquise Goodwin and Dante Hightower. I mean, teams, you know, guys are going
to
play.
But just one quick thing on the tanking, just to finish that off. Belichick tanked a Super Bowl.
That was strategic.
Are you happy now?
That was a strategic loss.
Yep, he lost that on purpose. Gronk and Brady are doing too well. I don't want people to like them more than me.
Well, no, Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler to be getting as much money as he possibly could.
How many guys have to opt out before there's no NFL season?
I think it doesn't. You'd have to have more than half the players opt out, and that ain't happening. If you have 30, 35 players, 40 players opt out, it's still keep a trucking. Do what Major League Baseball is doing. At least there you got a commissioner there who's got some balls on him who says, hey, the Marlins have, 19 guys test positive, but our league's still continuing on. And this is the world that we live in, and this is the thing that Pandering Man will show his head later on about what's going on, and make sure you tune in 1:30 because I got some stuff for that mofo when he's going to try to fly in. But
who are you referring to at
1:30?
Pandering Man.
I know, but which one? There's a lot of them around here.
Well, there's the head, which is Pandering Man, the superhero that always flies in and only wants us to see, you know, what it is he wants to see. And then there's people like Dale that buy into it, people like Ken that are their minds are manipulated by Pandering Man. Mm-hmm. You have a, you know, so.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, it's just, man, I'm glad what Major League Baseball is doing. I'm glad they didn't shut it down. They didn't cower. They didn't, you know, fold up. They just said, hey, we're going to put the Marlins over here to the side.
Yeah.
Everybody else, we're going to keep going, and we'll figure out how we need to, you know, figure those games out.
But the question is, do you think they make the Nationals play those games in Florida?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
even if the guys voted not to, think they make them do it?
They probably do, yeah.
Well, the thing that we got to get from the Mullen situation is, how did this whole coronavirus thing happen?
Magic City.
Well, the wings of Magic City. I've heard them.
It's Magic City. They were at a strip joint.
Well, you know, listen.
That's the problem, is guys aren't following the rules.
So you know, the protocols are all working. So if you go to Florida and you do what you're supposed to do, you go from the hotel to the ballpark, back to the hotel, that's it. You eat in the hotel.
Yeah.
You'll be
no
fine.
Risk. Yeah.
You want to go to the strip club and, you know, get you some wings and maybe take you home a little bit of Corona? And you run that risk.
That's why I feel like those guys should forfeit those games. Like, if you violate protocol to go to a strip joint,
That's on you.
Then that's on you. You lose those. You lose those games.
Similar to what the NFL, one of their rules are. If they find out that you were in violation of one of the rules, then you would forfeit your game check.
Yeah.
So I got no problem with that. If we know that's the exact way that they got it because there was a few guys and went out and weren't doing, then yeah, those games that everybody had a miss against them should all be forfeit wins for. Did the Red Sox play them? Would have been a nice little three game stretch.
All right, what are you guys talking about today on Dale and Keith?
I think we're going to talk about the Red Sox, where they're going. And I heard you guys talking about, I heard Fitzy say this, and I almost drove off the road, that it's going to be an enjoyable season to watch.
If you like shame watching.
Were you pulled over by an unarmed citizen in Cambridge when you drove off the road? I would love for somebody.
I heard that conversation. Whatever you do, I'm begging you. I know there's some bad apples out there in law enforcement, but please do not defund the police department, because if that happens, Criminal and his boys are going to be running amok.
But it's not going to be enjoyable. You don't agree with Nick? It's not going to be enjoyable to watch or listen to these Red Sox
it. I'd listen. Yes. I'd rather watch static on TV than watch a team that's horrible.
All right. Well, we're going to have Chaim Bloom on the show tomorrow at 8:30.
Can't blame him.
It's not on him?
No, I don't think.
Pitching staff is not on him?
I think in the way that this season went down, right, I think this is a throwaway season. So I heard you say this, you get to August 31st, whatever it is, you basically tear it all down, because the Red Sox are in a position now, you have to tear this thing down to the ground and rebuild it, and that's just the way it is. And hopefully when you rebuild it, you can rebuild it with better pieces and maybe in a couple of years be back in it. But they're not going to be good next year or the year after that.
Well, we will be back tomorrow morning at 6. Dale and Keith is next. Thank you for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.